Turn with me, if you will, to the 23rd Psalm. I want to look at this fact here that the Lord is my shepherd. I am thankful that we have a good shepherd who watches over us. And even though we go astray, he looks for us. Even though we do not know where to go, he guides us. And he is always the good shepherd. Stand with me, if you will, for the reading of God's word, Psalm chapter 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father, as we read this beautiful psalm, teaching us that you are our shepherd, Lord, I pray that you would remove anything from my heart that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me. Lord, guide us into the truth that you have for us in this psalm. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. What does that mean to you? The shepherd takes full responsibility for the sheep, where they go, what they do, what they eat, what they drink. Everything about the sheep is the responsibility of the shepherd. Now, a lot of times the sheep don't know that. A lot of times the sheep wander away from the shepherd. Amen? And he has to come after us. He told his disciples, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, he will leave the 99 in the fold and will go after that one sheep until he finds it. He's a good shepherd. He will not lose his sheep. And there is a tremendous blessing in that. Now, I want to break this psalm up into three parts. The duties of the shepherd. And we're going to look at the way he takes care of his sheep. But I want you to know that the Lord died for his sheep. He said, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep. When Jesus died on the cross, he took all of our sins. Isaiah 53 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and God has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Every sin that I will ever commit, every sin that I have already committed, all of those sins were still in the future when Jesus died on the cross. Amen? He died on the cross way before I was born. Now, all of my sins were placed on Jesus on the cross. Let me tell you something. All your sins were placed on Jesus on the cross too. Every sin that you ever have committed or ever will commit were on Jesus on the cross. And the significance of that is that once we receive Christ as our Savior, he takes those sins and casts them as far as the east is from the west to remember them no more. And in their place, to our credit, is the perfect life of Jesus Christ. Amen. And when we walk into heaven one day, we will be accepted in the Beloved because he was perfect on our behalf. And we will not have to go in with our head hung low because the good shepherd has taken care of all the sin and all the shame. And he took the curse for us so that we might be made righteous in him. That's the way we come to the shepherd. First step in having this good shepherd is to receive Christ as our Savior. See, he died on the cross for our sins, and then he offers salvation to us as a free gift. And when he applies that in our lives, we, from that point forward, are ready for heaven. He said he goes to prepare a place for us, that where he is, we may be also. Now look at verses 1 through 3. I want to show you how the shepherd takes care of the supply of all of our needs. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake." All of that supplies every need that we will ever have. Now, sometimes we get panicky, just like sheep. If a sheep sees grass on the other side of the fence that looks more tasty than what they're eating, a lot of times they'll try to get out and go to the greener pastures. But that's not the best for them. It's the best for them to stay right under the care of the shepherd. Every need that you will ever have is supplied by the Lord. Now, I want to dwell on that for a minute. One of the problems that we have to overcome if we're going to really serve the Lord as Christians is we've got to learn how to rest in Christ. We've got to trust Him with every aspect of our life, knowing He's going to take care of us. He is going to take care of every need, every care, every problem. He is going to care for us. And we've got to know that. You see, if you don't know that, you're going to constantly be drifting off to greener pastures. Always going to be trying to find some way to make it on your own because you can't trust the shepherd. But notice that the declaration here, first off, is a declaration from the heart of David who says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Have you made that declaration? Have you come to realize, even as a Christian, that you have the Lord watching over you every minute of every day, taking care of every need that you will ever have? Until you realize that, now you've still got the shepherd. Even the sheep that are trying to get out of the fence still have a shepherd. But they don't know it. You see, once we learn how to just rest in that and stay where we're supposed to stay, trust God for every aspect of our life, then we can say with assurance, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I have somebody taking care of every need." You see, that's important because that's the second step. First step is to receive Christ as our Savior. The second step is to take Christ as our shepherd, to rest in Him. Until we do that, we just run amok, doing everything on our own, maybe trying to do good things, but until we learn that every good thing comes from God and every good deed is by the Holy Spirit living within us, we will not rest in the goodness of God. And we will not be victorious in our Christian life. Luke chapter 12, verses 29 through 32. If we're going to take Christ as our shepherd and rest in Him all the time, we're going to have to stay near to the Father. Now listen to what He says here. "And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Now, understand what He's saying here. We have to understand that we are really near to the Father's heart. The Father loves us, and He is holding us near and dear, even when we don't know it. And He cares for us. He says, you don't have to beg God for what you need. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to worry. Why? Because it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is God's delight to bless you and to take care of you and to watch over you so that you will be an example to others. There is nothing more powerful in a testimony than a satisfied customer. Amen? If you run a business and your customers are not satisfied, your business is going to go out of business pretty quickly. But if every customer that you have is satisfied and will tell others about that, then your business is going to flourish. It's the same thing. It's not a business, but in Christianity, we are to try to spread the gospel. And if Christianity doesn't work for you, you're not going to be very effective in spreading it to other people, because it just doesn't work for you. Do you trust the Lord for your needs, or do you worry about it all the time? Do you know that you have a shepherd? How do you see God? Is God off somewhere, way far away, never interfering, never intervening, never supplying, and you're on your own till he comes back? Or do you have a personal relationship, moment by moment, so that every day, every need, every problem is in his hand? You see, then and only then can we claim Christ as our shepherd. Now, he is, but we can't really claim that and rest in it until we understand what he does for us. We are near to the heart of the Father. Then I want you to see in Philippians 4, 10 through 19, that all of our needs are furnished by God. Everyone. Now, you may think that it's because you work so hard that you have all your needs met. But let me tell you something. Hard work won't do it without blessing from God. God is the one who takes care of every need that we have. Listen to Philippians 4, 10 through 19. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have done well that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians also know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now I want you to see here, Paul says God supplies all of my need, and he has used the people here in Philippi to supply his needs at this particular point. They understood how that all worked out, and he said that was a supply from God. And God will supply all your needs in the same way that he supplies all of my needs. Now, I want you to understand here that Paul does not say you're going to have everything you want. He said, I have learned to be content with whatever God sends my way. He said, I have learned how to have very little, and I've learned how to have a lot. You see, it's a learning process. Trusting God is only really real when it's tested. Sometimes you're going to have abundance and God supplies. We can say, hey, I like this. God is taking care of me. But I want you to know that sometimes when your supply gets low, God is taking care of another problem that you have. And that is dependence upon the gift rather than the giver. You see, God knows what we need. It's not just the gift that we need. We need to always have our focus on the shepherd. And God will supply what we need. Sometimes we have to learn how to be abased. Sometimes we have to learn how to abound. And he takes us through those stages. But all the time we are very secure because he will supply every need that we have. Paul said, I wanted you to be involved in this giving process, not because I need a gift. God is going to supply. But he said, I wanted you to understand how the giving and the getting all works. I want you to understand the way God takes care of needs. Have you learned that? Listen, we may fret for a moment. We may have difficulties for a moment. But God, down through our life, if you look down through your life, God has always took care of you. God has always took care of me. And He always will, because He's the Good Shepherd. And so we need to rest in the fact that He will supply every need that we have. And then I want you to see Hebrews 13, 5 through 6, that we are never forsaken. There's never a time when God is going to just say, well, I'm just not going to help them anymore. I'm not going to take care of them anymore. They've gone too far. They've done something. I'm quitting. He's not going to do that. Listen to what He says. Let your conversation, that's an old English word, it means a lifestyle, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. He said there is a stopgap. You can understand something. And that is, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, why does He say that? Because the devil is going to constantly be whispering in your ears, God has forsaken you. Just look at what God has let in your life. Just look at what is happening to you. Just look at the trouble you have facing you. You have been forsaken by God. God says, remember one thing. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And He said, there's a reason why I tell you this. It's so that you may boldly say, not fearfully say, not hopefully say, but boldly say, I will not fear what man shall do unto me, because God will never leave me nor forsake me. Listen, there is a great, great blessing just in knowing that. Knowing no matter what happens, God's got us covered. Worst thing that's ever going to happen to me is going to usher in the best thing that's ever going to happen to me. One of these days I'm going to die. And that will be the best day of my life. Because from that point forward, I'm going to live completely. I'm going to live without a sinful nature. I'm going to live without any problems whatsoever. We sing that song, soon and very soon. We're going to see the Lord. He's coming. Now, I don't know when it's going to be. I noticed that the scripture they had written up there at the top, they mistranslated that. It said, behold, I'm coming soon. That's not what the scripture says. It says, behold, I come quickly. The word is suddenly. It means when He does come, it's going to be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Doesn't mean He's going to be here next week. He may be. He may be here before I quit preaching this morning. But when He comes, it's going to be suddenly. And then we're going to see the King. We're going to be like Him. If we have been the sheep of His pasture, we're going to be like Him because we'll see Him as He is. Now look with me at verses 4 and 5 of Psalm 23. I want you to see the safety that is ours. In a time when the world is troubled, when the world feels like it's completely out of control, we have safety because of our Good Shepherd. Listen to what He says. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Now what does He say? God's leadership in our life does not completely eliminate danger. He just protects us through it. There was always animals trying to get to the sheep. David, when he was about to face Goliath, was talking to Saul, the king there in Israel. And the king said, you're just a kid. I'm paraphrasing. You can't go up against this giant. Well, he'll squish you like a bug. David said, I was tending the sheep, and a bear tried to get my sheep. He said, he got one of my sheep, but I killed that bear, and I got my sheep back. He said, and a lion got one of my sheep, and I killed that lion, and I got my sheep back. Now, I want you to know that was not there just for David. You see, David, in that story there, represents God. God is the shepherd that David was representing. And he says that God delivered this bear and this lion into my hand, and he will also deliver in my hand this uncircumcised Philistine. Now, what's my point? When danger comes into your life, it's not up to you to fight it off. What chance did one of those little bitty sheep have of whooping the bear or the lion? Zero. As a matter of fact, what chance did David have of whooping the bear or the lion? Zero. But you see, there is a God in heaven. And God overcomes every obstacle. All God has to do is speak the word, and things change. Remember when they were going to crucify Jesus, and they came to the garden, and Judas had betrayed him, and here they come with their big spears and all this big bunch of soldiers, and they walked up and they said, "Who are you looking for?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." He said, "I'm he." The Bible says, and they all fell on the ground. He spoke the word. They all hit the ground. Why? Because there's power in the name of Jesus. And so while they're laying on the ground, he said, "Who are you looking for?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And I can see now, you know, they're laying on the ground. They're saying, "Jesus of Nazareth." Not so bold anymore. He said, "I told you, I'm he. Let the rest of these folks go." So they took him into custody, took him away. I want you to know, Jesus, our good shepherd, is the creator God. He is the sustainer God. You would not be able to live one more second were it not for the empowering of God in your life. The Bible says that all things were made by him, and in him all things consist. That word means hold together. For years, scientists have tried to figure out what the cohesive force of atoms is all about. Well, God tells us he holds it together. One of these days, he's going to turn it loose. That's when the elements are going to burn with a fervent heat. And all of the creation is going to completely uncreate. See, that's our shepherd. There is nothing that can come before you that God cannot handle. And everything that gets to you has to be filtered through God's love. And if he lets it through, it's for a reason. Not by accident. Nothing ever happens by accident. It always has a reason. It always has a solution. And God never gives up his control. There's safety with the Lord. Isaiah 41:10 says there's safety from danger. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Understand what he's saying here. Don't be afraid, because you represent me. I'm right here beside you. As a matter of fact, he's in us. He lives within us, and he lives his life through us, and he tells us, don't be afraid. I'm right here. Nothing's going to harm you unless I allow it. And if he allows anything in our life that is harmful, it's for a purpose. Understand that. To rest in God requires that we trust his will. Something I had to learn a long time ago, if I was going to rest in God's promises, is that God loves me more than I love myself. God never makes a mistake. He's too wise to ever make a mistake. And he will never do anything with the purpose of harming me. It's always to help. Once you believe that, whatever comes, just grab your best hope and hang on. Because God's got it under control. He gives us safety from doubt. Romans 8:28, familiar passage of Scripture. I think it's misunderstood a lot. He says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Now notice, it's his purpose that things are working good toward. There is a purpose. God is working in your life to fulfill a purpose that is his purpose. And if you are called to his purpose, if you are lined up with his purpose, then it works good for you. And so God has control of every circumstance. Folks, I can't stress that enough. We talk about Joseph. He was sold into slavery by his brothers. He was cast into prison, falsely accused. But he was able to see through all that. And he said to his brothers later on, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." God takes the evil that comes before you. He takes the evil that happens to you and turns it into good for his purpose. And folks, we don't have to worry and doubt when things come into our life because we have a good shepherd. And he keeps us safe from doubt. Then Psalm 121, 1 through 3 tells us that he keeps us safe from defeat. "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber." You see, we are safe in the arms of Jesus. Nothing can separate us from his love. He has completely finished his work on our behalf. Now I want you to see the security in verse 6. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Somebody may be hurting this morning and need to hear this part here. It may be that you have failed, you may have sinned, you may have had bad things in your life that's threatening everything that you believe in, everything that you trust in. But notice what he says. Surely. Surely means as a matter of fact. "Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You see, if you have received Christ as your Savior, your home's already prepared in heaven. As a matter of fact, the Bible says you're already seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Just like you were already in Christ on the cross. When Jesus was on the cross, I was in Christ. And now I'm already seated in heavenly places. Why? Because Jesus is seated in heavenly places. I am in Christ and Christ is in me. It is a finished deal. There is nothing left to be determined. I'm going to heaven when I die. And I thank God for that truth. You say, well, what about sin? The more I rest in God's goodness, the more I hate sin. the more I rest in the finished work of God, the more I long for the day when my tired old body will be left behind and I go to be with the Lord. You see, God has already done everything that needs to be done. I'm not trying to work my way to heaven. I couldn't get to heaven on the best 20 minutes I ever lived. But Jesus paid the penalty for my sins. And there on that cross, he took the shame and the suffering that would have been mine, would have been yours throughout all eternity. And then he gives it to us as a free gift when we call upon the name of the Lord. I want you to see that our security is based on Christ, who is our propitiation. Now what that means is he satisfied the wrath of God in our place. He is our propitiation. Listen to what he says in 1 John 2:1-2. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Every person in this world, Jesus is their propitiation, if they will receive it by grace through faith. Every sin that we will ever commit is taken care of. You say, well, then that doesn't matter whether I sin or not. Not for eternal security, it doesn't. But you know, something happens to a person when they realize that. When they realize that they are safe in the arms of Jesus, all of a sudden there's this overwhelming desire to clean up the life. That's what motivates us to live for Jesus. It's because of what he's done for us. John said, we love him because he first loved us. When you realize what he has done for you in saving you from your sins, all of a sudden there is this new desire to live holy. And when we sin, it does not please us. It breaks our heart. And we wish somehow we could never do it again. I like the prayer that David prayed. He said, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Can you relate to that this morning? You know what he's saying? The desires of my heart tend toward evil. And so therefore, from time to time, I do evil. He said, I wish that the desires of my heart were to please you and to live holy. And so we have the promise that even though we are still in a sinful flesh, God has paid every penalty of every sin. Blessed is that man to whom God will not impute sin. It doesn't get charged to our account because it's already been paid for on Calvary. Now, our security is also in the fact that God is already in the process and probably the completion of our preparation for our eternal home. Listen to John 14:1-3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You see, God is not waiting to see if we make it. He's not waiting to see if we're going to persevere. He's not waiting to see if our performance will merit us getting to go to heaven when we finally die. He has already prepared a place for us. You know why he knows? You know why he is so sure? Because he paid it all. There was nothing left for us to do except to receive it as a free gift. We don't deserve heaven, folks. It's by grace that we're saved. Therefore, it is a finished work. God has already finished the work of salvation. And when I received it, I received eternal life right at that moment. I'm going to live forever. You see, my old body's going to die, and it'll return to the dust from whence it came. But the Spirit will return to the Lord who gave it. And I am going to go with the Spirit. See, that's the real me. I am crucified with Christ. That is not a statement of hope. That is a statement of fact. I still live. Why? Because Christ lives. And my life is in Christ. And Christ's life is in me. And one of these days, he's going to come back to receive me unto himself so that I may always be where he is in heaven. Now, I want you to see one day he's going to present us before God. That's going to be a glorious day. When he makes this presentation, Jude 24 and 25. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and ever. Amen. I want you to know the work that Jesus did on the cross was a wonderful work. When God sent his Son to the earth to be born of a virgin, the angel came and told Mary, he said, you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jehovah Saves. It's translated Jesus. And he tells us why his name will be Jehovah Saves. It's because he shall save his people from their sin. Folks, we have been rescued by Jesus Christ, our shepherd. And we are just waiting for him to come and get us. Now, this does not happen automatically. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior, I want you to know the same offer goes to you as came to me and everybody else that has received Christ as Savior. But you've got to receive it. You see, if I want to give you a pencil, let's say, and I say, I'd like to give you this pencil. And I hold it out, but you never take it. It never becomes yours. It's there. It's paid for. It's yours. But if you never take it, it never becomes yours. But if you come and take it, it's without cost. That's the way salvation is. It's all paid for. It's all done. It's a package deal. You don't have to earn it. You can't deserve it. It's a free gift. I've had people tell me, I just don't think I can live up to it. You can't. But that's not a requirement. The Bible says Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. If you're a sinner, you qualify. That's the only qualification. You say, well, it just doesn't seem right to me that God would save sinners. It's not right. It's grace. It's not fair that he should die in your place, but he did. And I want you to know it will be the biggest mistake you have ever made in your life if you leave this world without Jesus Christ. Because he loves you. And he wants to save you. You say, Brother Allen, I don't know what to do. It's real simple. Being saved is a simple thing, because if it was real hard, we couldn't do it. If you need to be saved this morning, you just make your way down here to the front. We'll sit down with the Bible, and I'll show you from God's Word exactly what you need to do. Maybe you're here and you have trouble in your life. And I can almost guarantee you, you're either just coming out of trouble, just going into trouble, or you're just getting over trouble. Because that's what life is about. While you're in the world, Jesus said, you're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And I want you to be encouraged this morning. Jesus has your back. He's going to take care of you. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer.